Carl Lamar.
The show today is canceled due to human-caused global warming. Or is it cooling now? Or is it both warming and cooling? Whatever the government says, I believe them. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Climate experts believe the next ice age is on its way. According to recent evidence, it could come sooner than anyone had expected.
Well, it certainly didn't come in 1974, did it? Welcome from where that clip was from. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. KateDalyRadio.com. That's where you go to get podcasts of this show and recorded podcasts by the hour. And, of course, I welcome all of our global listeners, those all around the United States, Canada, too. And really and truly love doing what we do. Uncle Milty's with me on a Tuesday. How are you?
I'm really good.
Are you?
And I mean it this time.
Do you? Do you really mean it? So glad. I was holding my breath for that revelation. So there's so much to talk about, and we welcome you to join in on the conversation today. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. Glacier National Park had to remove... This is so funny. They had to remove their gone by 2020 signs, and they did so very, very quietly. What's funny about this, too, is we should just be so excited and celebratory that we're almost to 2020 and that this is the case, but they don't want to look stupid. So, of course, they did so ever so quietly. But, yes, the gone in 2020 signs, I think we should just post those up in the studio, don't you? Gone by 2020, that we would be actually looking at this and that we would, the fact that they even put these signs up, but okay.
I don't know why they took them down. Yeah. Why don't they just change them to gone by 2030?
Cross it out and put a three.
Yeah.
You know what? Don't give them any ideas. They probably would. So we had the global cooling hysteria from what I just played for you in the 1970s. And then we entered the global warming chapter, courtesy of Al Gore. And there was a huge, huge article about the fact that NPR a couple of days back, I think it was June 8th, said that made the declaration that we owe him an apology. We owe Al Gore, or he owes the entire globe an apology for the over $300 million that he scored on perpetuating junk science. But he was the one that said we'd be gone, right? We'd be toasted up like fried eggs by 2013. Do you remember that when that happened? Of course not. Yeah. So in that case, now they're saying now we were going to go cooling again. We have the Glacier National Park quietly removing a sign from its visitor center saying that the glaciers will disappear by 2020. They were originally placed there by Obama, that he pushed the narrative, of course, pushed by the left climate change hypothesis, right? The junk science there. And several years in a row, they said, because of high snowfall and cold temperatures, totally, obliterated a computer model that authorities relied on to claim that the glaciers would all be melted by 2020. Are you getting tired of this junk science? Because we've had about 50 years of it in our face right now, perpetuated by Time Magazine, which is bought and sold by the government. Also, all kinds of periodicals that said we would be gone by now.
I've actually been kind of relieved the last few years because I was getting dizzy trying to figure out if we were warming or
cooling. Cooling? Is it
warming?
At
least now I know it's just change that matters.
Okay. And so basically the segment, because I love to go in the Wayback Machine for the glaciers, the segment that they used to perpetuate out there is when they completely disappear, however, will depend on how and when we act, as if we are all powerful, as if we humans have so much strength and control and power over climate change. Amazing, isn't it? And so the USGS still insists, by the way, the overall picture remains the same. However, that picture is that the glaciers all continue to retreat. So they still have to keep up the narrative some way, somehow. So they're basically they're retreating. So, well, they might be, but that's not because of us. So the gone by 2020, and I mean gone by 2020, not going back, not actually retreating by 2020. No, they claimed that it would be gone by 2020. And you know who was saying it? The New York Times, the National Geographic, all kinds of international news sources all picked up on that. And so almost everywhere, the park's specific claims of impending glacier disappearance are now replaced with the more nuanced messaging. I call it fraud, but nuanced messaging is what they call it, indicating that everyone agrees that the glaciers are melting. Do you? Do you agree?
I don't.
I don't. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. One of the things I point out to anybody who talks about this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. I always say, look at something called the sunspot cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about that with Melissa.
The sunspot cycle, they peak. Uh-huh. They peak, and when they're peaked, that means the sun is emanating more energy. It goes. There's a sun energy cycle that the sun, and it changes over an 11-year cycle. Mm-hmm. In 1973, when they were talking about Ice Age, we were at the bottom of a sun cycle. So for the previous 7 years, we had been cooling down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we are now at another low point. See, they're throwing the narrative, and they don't know where to go with it.
Yeah,
and we're also, what we may be entering into is a marauder minimum. There's actually a sunspot cycles are not getting, when they're at their peaks, are not as high as they were before.
Mm-hmm.
The last time this happened, because they've been looking at sunspots since the early telescopes. We're talking, right. 400 years worth of information that we have.
Mm-hmm.
The last time that we saw sunspots this low, we went into a mini ice age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back in the early 1700s. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I was going to mention. There's a glacier in Greenland. It was shrinking and now is growing again.
Huge.
So the way that they're using the junk science, when they call it nuanced messages, when they're changing those, is really what we're talking about, because they're using it for political advantage. But the cyclical nature of how things happen is very real. So that's the problem that we have in America, is we don't know the difference. So.
Well, they look at science when they look at temperature, mm-hmm. but temperature has not been calibrated to a set rate mm-hmm. over the last 400 years. But the number of counted sunspots mm-hmm. has been calibrated.
Yeah.
That's a known number.
Yes.
It doesn't change
yes.
over the last 400 years.
Thank you for that. We spoke about that with Melissa. Melissa was on the show last Wednesday, and we talked about that. And so some glaciers in the U.S. are growing. Others are shrinking. And they're shrinking because he said, so if they were shrinking because the global warming hypothesis was correct, they would all be shrinking. But that shrinkage would have started long after the 18th century, and the entire Arctic ice would also be shrinking. That's Jeff Denant's speaking. And, that's what we have a hard time, because we only hit the headlines. It's just headline news with junk science, and it's all for political gain in the way to use as a scare tactic. That's different than the truth. Hi, caller. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Did anybody mention that there's a secret water board meeting on Thursday?
No, absolutely not. And on the national show, we usually don't go there, but yes, there's all kinds of water board meetings all over the United States, I'm sure. And you should always go and be present for those as well. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey there, Kate and Uncle Milty.
Hi.
Really awesome show today, and
thanks.
I wanted to just talk a little bit about when you were saying climate change
uh-huh.
and the hoodwinking
yes.
that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gentleman, and his name eludes me right now, that's on Facebook, and he used to be very liberal,
mm-hmm.
Very active, and very granola.
Uh-huh. granola tree hugger.
The cool part is that he decided that he was going to do research, and he was going to find out exactly what was going on with all of this global warming,
mm-hmm.
Especially because he saw that they were reporting that Antarctica, that the Arctic shelf was crumbling,
right.
and it turns out that it's actually growing. So the
uh-huh.
ice field is growing and getting larger, and it's put and National Geographic and the National, I think you said NSGS,
mm-hmm. USGS.
They actually
mm-hmm.
said it's growing and it's getting bigger.
Yeah.
And so he couldn't figure out why in the world they would be reporting and showing images that weren't up to date. And it was a very, very interesting video that he had put out there. And again, it's hard because as a parent, you want your kids to be interested in science.
Mm-hmm.
There was an episode of Planet Earth, and I don't know if you've ever watched Planet Earth.
I have.
But they were showing that these walruses, that the ice fields were you know, going away, and these walruses were committing suicide by running off of this cliff, right?
Oh,
I don't know.
No.
Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't. I did not hear about that.
It was insane. And so what's fascinating is they actually, an expert in Arctic biology has a blog, and I can't think of the title of that blog, but she came out against Planet Earth and said, this is a bunch of hogwash.
Right,
She said, we study walruses all the time, and she said the camera people actually went out there, I guess WFO, they called up this camera crew, and they said, hey, guess what? These polar bears have moved in on these walruses. And so there are all these dead walruses on this shore because they got backed off of this cliff. And so this would really do well for you to come out here and film this.
Oh, my gosh.
And so they put it in their movie as the walruses were committing suicide.
Oh, my gosh. Can they attach any more emotion to that? Wow. All right.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, just as parents out there, you know, it's good to talk about nature, but I think we need the disclaimer of, let's go research that. Let's go find out the truth.
Oh, man. Thank you for that. I really appreciate you bringing that up. Wow. That happens so much. The pictures, the footage is manipulated. Remember the polar bear that we've seen that was diseased, and they said he was the product of, and they splashed that picture around everywhere as the product of global warming. So, and it was, he was diseased. I mean, it's so not truthful and such a lie that it's just, it's nauseating. It's nauseating that people hook, line, and sinker, this becomes their religion. The climate change organizations that that worship, they get to the point where they sort of worship this movement. It's very strange to me. It's like earth worship. Be a good steward, but earth worship? I mean, and also it's very politicized. So politicized in nature to have a certain effect politically to lead us into more taxation is really what this is about. Fines and regulation and taxation. The brainwashing of America. No, we don't owe Al Gore an apology. He owes us one and has owed us one for a very long time and got away with it. He's a criminal. He got away with it. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
In pocket, gunpowder. I'm gonna use it. Intention. I'm feeling mental. Gonna make you notice.
Hi there. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. Woo. I'm still laughing. I really want one of those signs gone in 2020. I so want one. If anyone can get their hands on one, you just let me know. I really do. I really want one. Please, please. Gone in 2020. National, if you're just joining us, the Glacier National Park removed their signs gone in 2020 because they were a little embarrassed that it wasn't gone in 2020. So you got to love the claims. You got to love it. Riding it to the hilt. It's what they do best and so irritating. It really is. It's beyond irritation now just because it's so fraudulent and so used for political gain that I'm just shocked that so many actually fall in line with the propaganda anymore. I've got 50 years behind us right now. All you have to do is look back and know that it's fraudulent. Yet here we are. Here we are still trying to point out the fraudulent narrative of 50 years of this. Do we have to get to a point where there's like 100 years of fraudulent claims to go, gee, for the last 100 years, did you meet your demise through the world being glacierized or, I don't know, fried up like eggs on the sidewalk? And when people say, well, no, but it is coming, how many times do we have to say that to finally go, wow, they're really using this for political gain? They truly are.
Kate.
I don't know how much longer. 50 years is a lot of years.
You sound like a climate denier.
I'm a denier. You denier. Don't you just love that word, denier?
Oh, yeah.
You deny the obvious. How dare you? How dare you not believe our junk science? You denier of the obvious. There's that. And I just laughed so hard when I saw that, but I had to share that with everybody. Let's talk about John Dean, because it was missed. Remember how we talked about yesterday? There was a helicopter crash that was headline all day long, which would never be a headline anywhere else, but in New York it is. You know what? Just on a side note, the hysteria that comes along with anything happening in New York becoming headline news for the entire country because of what happened in 9/11 almost 20 years ago, we automatically go to what, you know, a terrorist coming there. Now, I understand why people go there in their heads sometimes, but the media uses that. They pounce on that. It's the same kind of hysteria of, and this is why I was criticizing NPR for putting out the thing that we owe Al Gore an apology, is when we looked at the Mississippi floods, is because we're always going to have floods. We're always going to have weather. We're always going to have stuff happen. We're going to have tornadoes. And now every time it hits, it's used as propaganda for the political gain of climate change.
Yep.
Junk
every
science.
Time.
And so it's the same kind of thinking. It's the same kind of, we jump to, oh my gosh, the world is falling and climate change. No. That's just stuff that goes on and happens. So that's what's so irritating about it. So the helicopter crash was front and center on every thing you could imagine yesterday. But really what was funny was the testimony going on at John W. Dean, who refers to himself as the Nixon historian, because people maybe are not old enough to remember, or I don't know what the deal is, or maybe we just don't remember it.
Yeah.
Basically, the House Judiciary Committee preparing to call the Watergate star witness and former Nixon White House counsel to testify about the Mueller report, right? And this was supposed to be an effort to draw public attention to let's get President Donald Trump impeached for no crime, but I'm sure we could turn some kind of hearing into a crime.
Eventually.
So they're really trying. So the word star doesn't really describe Dean. And that's really important to know. This comes from David Harsanyi, writer, who wrote, even on his best day, you would never describe this guy as a star. His expertise on the issue of impeachment was long kind of sought after by liberals, was acquired by helping plan one of the most infamous scandals in American political history, snitching on everyone who conspired with him and then cashing in on the fallout for the next 47 years. And so quite a racket. And so Dean had known about the eavesdropping that ended the Nixon presidency even before Nixon did. And so he was not some innocent guy swept up in the current of history. The U.S. attorney, Earl Salbert, accused Dean of not only being at the center of criminality, but also withholding crucial evidence while plea bargaining his way out of trouble. And this is their star witness.
Yeah.
You know what? That makes sense, though. Because I promise you, what I see from the left are a lot of people that will do this kind of shenanigan or just criminal. Yeah. Let's point to this criminal as our star witness. And so, yeah.
And when it happens, you know, all the leftist propagandists that are called the mainstream media, you know, Rebecca Chabad.
Yeah.
NBC News did a story about this. And she makes it sound like Nadler has come up with the guy that's going to nail the president. And the first thing he said in his testimony was, you have to understand, I'm not a factual witness.
Nothing I say is based on anything relevant.
Yeah, there's no facts here.
I'm here for the theater. I'm here for the play. Wow. In fact, let me play a little bit of this for you. This was, wasn't this Jeff Jordan? I think Ohio, right? He was just absolutely getting nailed by these guys because he kept trying to elude these guys, but it was actually really funny in the way that he's being questioned because he kept making comments on shows and he kept making comments on Twitter, and he doesn't want any of that entered into this. No. What he wants is for you to just kind of forget about that and then just go off what he wanted to say in the hearings and the testimony. So I'll just play a little snippet of this. This is Jeff Jordan, congressman. Here we go.
Gentleman from Ohio, Mr. Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At a memorial event for David Hamburg, Speaker Pelosi and I had a chance to discuss impeachment. Mr. Dean, who wrote that?
I did.
1 month ago, May 11th, 2019, haven't we been too long in not giving Trump a meaningful moniker? Should it be deranged Don, deadbeat Don, demagogue Don?
Whoops, where'd it go?
Thoughts, please, comments. Mr. Dean, who wrote that?
I assume that was mine.
It was yours. 19 days ago, May 22nd, 2019, there was this. We are witnessing Trump's massive cover-up of his criminal behavior as POTUS. He's incapable of accomplishing anything. Mr. Dean, you know who wrote that?
I suspect that was me again.
It was you. I want to focus on that last sentence. As POTUS, as President of the United States, he, Donald Trump, is incapable of accomplishing anything. When you made that statement, Mr. Dean, what did you have in mind? You thinking about the 3.2% economic growth rate we had the last quarter? Thinking about the fact we got the lowest unemployment in 50 years? How about the fact the hostages are back from North Korea? Maybe you were thinking about this. When you said the President of the United States was incapable of doing anything, were you thinking about the fact that the embassy is now in Jerusalem? I mean, I think about this one. Every single candidate for as many cycles as I can remember, Republican and Democrat, have promised the American people, you elect me, we're going to move the embassy to Jerusalem. And guess what? They get elected and they come up with a million reasons why they can't do what they said they were going to do. But this president didn't. The embassy is now in Jerusalem. So I'm just wondering, what were you thinking about when you said he's incapable of accomplishing anything?
Mr. Jordan, I think that under the parliamentary rules of the House, I'm refraining from addressing a full answer to your question.
You weren't refrained in your tweets and your comments and the things you wrote.
My tweets are not subject to the parliamentarian.
They are subject to state of mind and the perspective you bring to this hearing, and I think the American people understand. Let me ask you this then. Did you give advice to Lanny Davis or Michael Cohen prior to Mr. Cohen's testimony to Congress?
No.
Well, you said on Aaron Burnett's show the night before Mr. Cohen testified in front of the Oversight Committee that Michael Cohen should, you said you had talked to Lanny Davis, and that Michael Cohen should hold his testimony as long as possible from Republicans. You didn't say that to Mr. Davis? You said it on Aaron Burnett's show the night before Mr. Cohen testified.
I didn't say it directly to Mr. Cohen, was your question.
No, it wasn't. My question was, did you give advice to Lanny Davis or Michael Cohen prior to Mr. Cohen's testimony to Congress?
Yeah, I have known Lanny Davis for
almost a
couple decades, and we have talked about it. And I did say, as soon as you turn your testimony over, it will be picked apart.
So you instructed Michael Cohen's lawyer to keep information from Republicans to obstruct the committee work that we were doing in the Oversight Committee just a few months ago? You told that to Michael Cohen's lawyer?
I didn't quite phrase it that way, no.
You know what? They took your advice.
I'm sorry?
They took your advice.
Did they?
Yeah. Mr. Cohen kept his testimony from us for as long as possible. But you know what else Mr. Cohen did that day? Lied. Lied seven times. And this is what I think concerns so many Americans.
There you go. That's a short snippet of it. It kept going like that. And this is the political theater of our day, though. And this was obviously the correlation from what just took place with the Russiagate and the Mueller report to Watergate. There really isn't a correlation there in the way the American people think of it.
No.
That was actually summed up and done and ready for prosecution within 6 months. This thing has been going on now for 2.5 years. And 2.5 years couldn't find anything. So they have to even use a hearing to try and drum up action for it, to try and drum up the American populace into thinking there's something there. When nothing is there, nothing is there. You can't go around trying to invent it. So there's a clear difference in that way between them, for sure.
Yeah. If they had the same evidence against Richard Nixon that they have against President Trump,
and went on for
Richard
2 years.
Nixon would never have resigned the presidency.
That's true. That is true. So there are a couple of lessons there, but the left loves to do that. The progressive leftists, they love to keep the conversation going and likening it to Watergate. Why? Because it was Watergate. It was the criminal proceeding of our time and so forth. But that doesn't, just because you liken it to something like that, that doesn't make it worthy of that. And give it the legs that it didn't have. So that's why I have a problem with all of this political theater going on. And it's, again, right versus left. But it's funny how they would drum him up. They would drum this guy up,
yeah,
for the meat of what they wanted to press on and go forward on. So, again, ridiculousness at its finest. But what do you you just let them have their little field day, I guess. I mean, they want to go there. They want to keep talking about impeachment, and here we are at the end, almost the end of this term. It's just ridiculous. Do they realize how ridiculous they're being? I don't know.
I thought they did for a while, but yeah. No, I don't think they do.
Yeah, and dredging somebody like that up. I mean, honestly, that would be like taking Michael Cohen 20 years from now, right?
Yeah,
and saying he was part of Russiagate, and that's what would be so ridiculous, is Michael Cohen was playing both sides, and it's just ridiculous. That's the Dean, that's John Dean right there. So that's why I'm a little baffled as to why they conjured him up out of the cobwebs, but I think he actually really likes it. So there you go. Likes being the star of the show for this, because he's been on this on this caravan to impeach for a very long time. Has been very vocal about it, and so they thought if they could dream up somebody from Watergate somehow, some way, then the possibility of them actually having something concrete would work. But no. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Kansas City, here I come. I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. They got some pretty little women there, and I'm gonna get me one.
Hi there, welcome back. Kate Daly Show. You can email me, kate@katedalyradio.com, and I'd love to hear all your suggestions for guests and thoughts on the show, what you'd like to hear more of on the show. Make sure you email me, kate@katedalyradio.com. You can also get a hold of Uncle Milty, uncle.milty@katedalyradio.com as well, and email us. We're all game to hear this, to hear what you have to say. And you can find us on The Kate Daly Show on Twitter, The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, and we hope that you join the conversation there, because I do... look at all the messages. So make sure that you email me there as well, or message me there, I should say. But that you're joining in. Send me pieces. I love it. I have a lot of people that send me YouTube videos and articles and whatnot, and I absolutely love it. So make sure that you're sending those. I don't say that often enough, and I really, really should. Uncle Milty, well, I'll take the caller first. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
You know, over the weekend, I saw about a reporter who went to a Pride festival, mm-hmm, and was talking to people about their opinion on impeaching Trump. And they were all just, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she said, okay, good. That means you want Mike Pence as president. And then they're like, whoa, whoa, hold it. Well, yeah, if you impeach the president, the vice right. president becomes the president. Like when we got rid of Nixon, we ended up with Ford.
Uh-huh.
So that means you'll have this guy. And then they were like, wait, oh, yeah. Unintended consequences. If you get what you want, you might not like what you get.
Go ahead.
These people never look past the issue that they're looking at.
Yes.
And it's amazing to me.
I listened to some interview footage, caller, and I was laughing because they were trying to say, you know, well, I think it was even the gal from InfoWars. She was asking him, well, I know, but why do you think, what's the reasoning? Why do you think you want him impeached? And one of the guys goes, well, I don't like to go into a lot of detail on that. I just know that all my friends and family, they want him impeached, and I support them. That's how weak it was. They couldn't even identify. Honestly, she walked around trying to get anyone on the microphone that could say what the reasoning was. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons somebody gave was he's just full of contempt and he's an idiot, and so he shouldn't be in charge of our country. That honestly was their reason to impeach, not understanding there had to actually be a crime, I guess. But that's how they were perceiving it, was you could impeach somebody just on the notion that you just don't like their personality. So.
Right. And the other one I like is when people said, oh, he makes our standing in the world look worse. And I'm like, why? Because he's a nationalist?
Yeah.
When Britain and France mm-hmm. have now just become primarily a nationalist, their parliamentary organization is now majority right. nationalist. And those parties didn't even exist a year ago.
Right. It's because people are incapable of not just regurgitating what they're hearing on TV. And that basically sounds good to them. I mean, it sounds like a real good reason, doesn't it? I mean, yeah, he's diminishing our world standard. Do we even know what that world standard was? No. But he's diminishing it somehow. That's just a regurgitation of media propaganda because they can't think for themselves. That's all.
Right. Well, there's those people out there who say, oh, well, I'm so informed because I listen to NPR and I listen to all. I'm like, you listen to you condemn me for listening to right wing.
Yes.
And yet you listen to primarily left wing. Well, at the same time, I do read The Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
And I also watch people on YouTube like Jim Dore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know, he is a comedian who's
mm-hmm.
far out left,
yeah.
progressive.
Right.
I listen to these people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I listen to their points.
Yes, yes. But you won't see a leftist progressive doing that. They only dwell in their own bubble. They don't want to know. They don't want to have anyone say anything to them that's contrary, that makes them think. That's one thing I have noticed, yeah. if you want to draw a right-left paradigm, is that the right is usually willing to listen a little bit more to the other side just to see where they're coming from. The leftist progressive cannot do that. They can't.
Yeah.
It's beyond.
Shapiro did mm-hmm. a one where he went to New York City and asked people who were leftist liberals if they had any Republican friends. And they looked at him like, why would I? There is no way I would ever be friends with one. And then he asked the same question to Republicans and conservatives in Salt Lake City. And they're like, mm-hmm. yeah, I do. And, you know, I enjoy having conversations with them. It's
right.
really nice to know their viewpoint.
Right, right.
So tell me, who's closed-minded here?
Yeah, that's so true. Thank you for that. It's very, very true. Yeah. I have to agree. It's hard. It's hard to realize that. But that is one right-left paradigm that I have noticed. And I like to kind of shoot through the right-left paradigm to kind of try to get to the principle at stake. But on that, oh, yeah. Yeah, I've noticed it hardcore. I've noticed they can't be friends with conservatives.
No. And when everything you think is based on emotion mm-hmm. only, it's pretty hard to see the unintended consequences.
Yes. If you get too riled up by what somebody's saying because you don't agree with it, because you don't even seek to understand it, that's really the key. You're not seeking to even understand where they're coming from. Then, yes, if you're that riled up, if you're that prone to be completely, beyond what your brain can handle because somebody's saying something that doesn't coincide with the propaganda you've learned, then yeah, that's usually the catalyst as to why they can't be friends. And I've had people unfriend me that were good friends of mine previously. They unfriended me because they didn't want to hear what I had to say. I can't even imagine not even being open to conversation. Is that where we're at?
And they never are. Sarah Sanders was on The View.
Mm-hmm.
Joy Behar's, they were talking about false narratives.
Oh, I bet that was a...
And Joy Behar says, you mean the media is not supposed to report the fact that 95% of what the president says is a lie?
Where did she get that so-called fact?
Well, Sanders looks her right in the eye and says, well, the problem with that, Joy, is you're doing exactly what we are talking about, pushing a false narrative.
Oh,
I mean,
women.
They make themselves look so
well,
foolish.
Well, those women are foolish. I mean, they're total idiots. I mean, come on. Anyway, complete and total idiots.
Well, they just can't back a statement like he lies
95%. I know. I read an article today that said Trump is. We have to realize Trump is going to win again, even though most of the nation hates him. And I went, well, most of the nation doesn't hate him. That's these kinds of blanket statements,
yeah.
these kind of false narratives. Now, you could turn the mirror back on me and say, but Kate, you just said most leftist progressives can't be friends with a conservative. Mm-hmm. That has been my experience. And to tell you the truth, I haven't known anything else. All I've noticed is I came from California and had a lot of leftist progressive friends. They were so offended by things I have written. So many of them have been offended by what I've said on the show. They ceased to be friends with me, although I have no problem with them.
Right.
And a lot of conservatives will tell you that they've lost liberal friends, but they're not going around unfriending anyone. It's the liberals who do that. For the most case that I've seen. So that's been my experience. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe my experience is truly unique. And so I'm willing to look at that because I don't like the broad brushstroke as well. So I'm just trying to be hard on myself right now because I have to call myself out if I'm doing that as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like I have a local hour and the local hour is talking about suffrage. I know that suffrage doesn't mean suffering, but what I was trying to say yesterday, even with Dr. Pesta, which was a great hour, by the way, you should share that on the women's suffrage. I know it's voting, but what I was trying to say was it was suffrage as a cause, as a women suffered until we got the vote and then we were freed kind of mentality, which isn't true.
No.
So, yeah, sometimes I go a little too fast on the show and I don't even realize I'm not explaining where I'm at with a topic. And I apologize for that. It gives somebody the impression that I don't know what the word suffrage means. I know it doesn't come from suffering. So I just, to me, it reminds me of the overall, we have suffered and that we have never been dealt with fairly until we got the voting in place, which actually isn't true, but people still think that because of propaganda, just like with this too. I'm always willing to call my own self out. This is also something I don't see coming from liberal progressive left. They don't like to call themselves out. They like to always be right. And that's not okay. There's something very wrong with a personality type or an ideology and the two combined that say that you can't be wrong. And I'm at least, and I know Uncle Milty is, he's wrong all the time. And
yeah.
just kidding. And that we have to always be willing to call ourselves out on that and correct ourselves, which I've done before. So we're not immune to that. But there are some, glaring, obvious to me, obvious things going on with the two ideologies.
I don't mind people questioning me.
Mm-hmm.
But why do they have to tell me I should die first?
They do go there. They do go to the ratchet up emotional, I want you to absolutely be thrown into an incinerator for what you're thinking. And I actually said this, somebody was trying to tell me, you know, you shouldn't be like talking about the medical community. I'll give you that for instance, you know. And my point was that, well, why can't I? Do you not want to know when I find something about the medical community? Is the medical community somehow immune to criticism? You know, countries are now immune to criticism. We have certain countries we're not allowed to talk about. We have certain institutions we're not allowed to talk about. If you talk about teachers, that's off limits because how dare you talk about teachers when you're trying to criticize Common Core? How dare you talk about vaccines and criticize the whole medical community?
Mm-hmm.
Am I criticizing the whole medical community or am I picking apart vaccines? There's a difference. There's a difference, isn't there?
A little bit.
Okay. And so that's where a lot of my liberal progressive friends will go in a conversation. How dare I annihilate an entire industry? But that isn't what I'm doing at all. So, by the way, on that note, can I just add that people should be aware of that schools are now, and they have been trying to do this, but they want vaccination controlled centers within the schools themselves so that the schools can deliver these. Now, we've seen this at different times in history, back with smallpox and back with polio. But this is kind of getting very interesting as we move forward. We've talked about federal mandates for that and how they're pushing this, how they want to make sure that public education, they say, is dedicated to the health of all children. They have nothing to do with the health of the children, only the education of the children. And that's even, honestly, what they shouldn't be doing countrywide. That should be left to the states. But this is a problem when we have 52 million children out there that are subject to the government making it their choice. The Healthy Act 2020 has a plan for schools to play a key role in the deterrence of vaccine preventable diseases by making it something that they can do even without your consent as a parent. So I just wanted to In advancement of that act, studies are evaluating whether state laws permit the implementation of standing orders programs called SOPs to increase uptake of vaccines. So is that annihilating the entire medical profession? No. If I had a broken arm, first thing I'd seek out is a doctor. But when it comes to vaccinations, we better be able to separate all of these issues and talk about them separately, or we're going to have a mess. And in this country, if we don't stop this, the Healthy Act 2020, if we don't stop some of this nonsense from moving forward and curtailing our liberty even more. Can you tell I'm passionate about it?
A little.
Just a teensy bit. So there's something that's really, really, really wrong with this. And I know I'm sounding the alarm bell a lot, and that's because we're moving quickly to federally forced, mandated public education vaccines. And I'm distraught by it. By the way, there's a yoga class, could have never existed in the middle of America because it's that horrendous, but it's the Whiteness Gone. You can actually go and get a yoga class called Undoing Whiteness. It claims to get your whiteness gone from you. They want to banish the pathology of whiteness because all lives matter in yoga. And because they would really like to teach you, this is actually in Seattle. It could have never existed in middle America. But Uncle Milty, I just want you to know that you can rid yourself of your pathology, your whiteness, if you go do this yoga class.
I'd be going there this evening.
I know, right? I want my whiteness gone. Boy, is it a hindrance. So yes, she says, she keeps refining the class so that she can help people to really get there quickly. And listening to the lessons of witnessing whiteness, she wants you to know that, are you a white person wanting to unpack the harmful ways white supremacy is embedded in your body? Man, where is it embedded? Mind and heart. Oh, okay. Are you looking for an embodied approach to racial and social justice? I know me. I crave social and racial justice all the time. Are you craving a spiritual community where oppression and privilege can be addressed with compassion and honesty? You, too, can take part in the Undoing Whiteness course in Seattle. It's a yoga class.
Instead of worrying about where my whiteness is embedded... They maybe should worry about where their head is embedded.
Don't they have a yoga move for that?
Yeah. It's called a backwards upside down dog.
We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.